Greetings and welcome back to the CBMW podcast, your bulwark for biblical truth and citadel for pure and undefiled complementarianism. I'm your host, Jonathan Swan, executive editor of Icon, a journal for biblical anthropology. I am joined, as always, by Colin Smothers, the executive director of CBMW, and Denny Burke, the president of CBMW. Welcome to the show, guys.
Great to be back.
Absolutely. Good to see you, Jonathan.
You as well. Denny, before you arrived, Colin was so excited to tell me that his beloved Kansas City Royals have been on a winning streak. I'm trying to look it up here. Colin,
it's
they're
like
nine and one.
Maybe nine games. There it is, 9-1.
They've won nine in a row.
Amen.
And Colin said, hey, people are saying they have a chance at the wild card. Now, everybody's basically a wild card contender now, but we still have eight. There's still eight games back, Colin. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know. They've been playing like fire, checking the box scores. You know, I don't have time to watch these games, but they are fun to watch here in the get into fall.
Denny, your commentary on this baseball discussion. I know you're a huge MLB fan.
Well, maybe they have a one in a million chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
And with that, we go to our first story of the day. There's a really big headline out that I don't think is getting enough attention, actually. It's out of Texas. The Texas Children's Hospital has reached a settlement with the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. It's a lawsuit that alleged the hospital was fraudulently billing Texas Medicaid program for sex-rejecting treatments. We're calling them that, not gender-affirming treatments. And these were things that the state legislature had banned in 2023. So here are the bullet headlines of the ramifications of this settlement. First, the hospital has to pay $10 million to resolve claims of fraudulent billing. They're forced to revoke certain physicians' privileges and bar others from ever practicing at any current or future Texas Children's Hospital facility. They are forced to change their bylaws to state that medical staff who administer gender transition interventions will irrevocably lose their medical staff privileges. And they have to publicly state on their website and acknowledge that they did provide these sex-rejecting procedures on both minors and adults, and that they're now ceasing to do so. Furthermore, this statement has to be on their website for 15 years. Perhaps the biggest part of the settlement is that the hospital has to open up a clinic for detransitioners that's required to open, I believe, in October. Denny, what is your response to the story? And in the grand scheme of the sexual revolution, really, how big is this?
I think it's huge, because think about where we were just 5-6 years ago with all of this. We were having, you know, enforced speech codes about how we were supposed to refer to children being mutilated. Instead of saying that they were having, you know, healthy body parts destroyed through destructive surgeries, we were supposed to call it gender affirming care. And here you've got a, you know, complete reversal just on the way that we're this Orwellian speak that, you know, previously was being imposed upon people. Also, you've got, you know, some actual public policymakers enforcing good law that these kinds of procedures shouldn't be done to begin with. And they're going to go after people who are, you know, fraudulently billing insurance companies for these things. Because a lot of these procedures that they were doing were not, they didn't have, you know, billable codes. And so they were putting it under different categories. And so I'm glad that they went after them with what they could. And I'm glad that they're having to pay through the nose for it. And the statement that they had to put on their website, you know, for them, had to be humiliating, because they had to make a case for doing this all these years. But now they have a site, they have a statement up there that says, this public statement supersedes these prior media statements on these matters. And they totally reversed themselves using the language that the state used. So I think it's a wonderful development, and I hope we see more of it going across the country.
Colin, what are your big takeaways from the settlement and the fallout here?
Yeah, you know, you already highlighted the language that they're being required to use. I think that is in itself a massive win. You know, I think we can't overstate how important it is, the words that we use. And up until this point, Texas Children's Hospital, the LGBT activists that were pushing these surgeries and these treatments, they would call it, you know, sex reassignment surgery or gender affirming care. And now here, published on their website, they're having to call it sex rejection procedures. And that's actually the truth of what was happening. It was never gender affirming care. You can't reassign your sex. What you were doing all along, what Texas Children's Hospital was doing all along, was rejecting people's sex, helping them to do that surgically, hormonally, et cetera. And so that in and of itself, I think, is a sea change regarding the way we talk, the language we use. Of course, this detransition clinic they're going to have to put up, I think will hopefully go some way down the road to repair the harms that they had perpetrated against these children and these adults that underwent these surgeries. Of course, the tragedy of the whole thing is once some of these surgeries were done, they are irreversible. So at this point, you're only kind of caring in the aftermath. There's no putting that genie back in the bottle, as it were. But I think the big takeaway here for me is, again, we talk about this all along, is how much elections and the people in power and the people who are put in decision-making situations like this, how much that matters. A few years ago, we were talking about this individual, Ethan Heim, who's actually one of the individuals at the center of this case out of Texas Children's Hospital. And he was a whistleblower who was saying that, look, the legislature passed laws that prohibit these surgeries, and yet the Texas Children's Hospital was still doing the surgeries, even apart from and against the will of the legislature and the governor there in Texas. And what happened is the Biden administration DOJ prosecuted him. They were trying to sue him. They were trying to get him for HIPAA violations and put him away for a decade or more behind bars because he was saying, look, this is going on. They are still doing these mutilation surgeries against the will of the people here. And all of that changed, of course, with the change of an administration. Instead of a DOJ prosecuting people who are trying to get the truth out and, you know, live according to the truth, now you have a DOJ that is actually behind the science and the truth of the matter, which is you can't change your sex, you can't change your gender, you can live according to it, or you can reject it, and rejecting it is the opposite of human flourishing.
And kind of the bigger picture too is that the whole transgender activist agenda is kind of in retreat right now. And a lot of people are just pushing back. And this is becoming more of a mainstream cause at this point, I think a majoritarian cause. And I just noticed, this is a different story, but I just noticed, what was it, today or yesterday, that the Log Cabin Republicans, did you see this story?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. I haven't.
The Log Cabin Republicans are the LGBTQ affirming Republican group, sort of a little caucus within the Republican Party, a minority within the Republican Party, but they're there. But you know, they've been LGBT affirming, and they're now taking the T off because they don't want to be associated with it anymore. So the official, you know, caucus within the Republican Party is unloading this as one of their causes. Now, I don't see anything like that happening on the Democrat side because their whole party is a caucus for all of it. But I thought that was very interesting that there are some who are, you know, still very much in favor of mainstreaming homosexuality. They are trying to distance themselves from this because they see it's just a loser.
Yeah, I think it's important as that happens for us to point out that the Log Cabin Republicans can try to distance themselves from the T. That's a practical, prudential matter. But all the letters really come together in their philosophy, in their ideology, in rejecting God who is there, who has spoken, who has created us, given us a purpose for our bodies. They have to reject that to embrace their homosexuality. As a matter of politics, sure, they want to get rid of the T, but we have to continually confront the fact that they can't escape the T from their own ideology. One more comment on the Texas story that I think is important. I don't think we see this a lot, and hopefully we see it more. The ramifications for the doctors. It wasn't just that the Texas hospital had to pay some money, had to put a statement on their website, have to start the detransitioner clinic. But these doctors who actually practiced the medicine, at least some of them, are being held accountable. And I think that's really important. You know, one of the bedrock principles of being a physician is do no harm. And these procedures were intrinsically harmful. They were damaging young, healthy bodies, and as we've stated, as many people state, in irreversible ways. And so I don't want to celebrate anyone losing their job, losing their livelihood, but I do think it is the right thing that we begin to actually put pressure on doctors to stop doing these things, and hopefully the repercussions of this lawsuit will make other doctors hesitate in the future.
Well, you know, the thing is that if you want it to stop, make it to where it's not profitable anymore. Like they never would have gotten into it if they weren't profiting from it, if the insurance companies weren't reimbursing them to some extent. And the doctors never would do this if they weren't getting paid for it. And so this is removing the incentive structure, which is exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah, and more legislatures need to do what Texas did. I mean, this lawsuit can happen on the basis of their legislator rejecting these kind of procedures. All right, well, one or two more things here. Earlier this week, Donald Trump made a statement publicly. He said this: every public school in America is now on notice that if they tell a child that they're trapped in the wrong body, they're committing child abuse. Denny, you know a little bit of the background here. And what do you think about Trump's claim that these kinds of schools promoting these ideologies are part of child abuse?
Oh, I think he's absolutely right. And I think what's been going on in public schools across the country is outrageous, because what you're having in public schools or across the country are administrators and coming up with policies so that if a child decides that they want to transition to the opposite gender, which you can't do, but if they're going to affirm that, and the only responsible position is to affirm that, and they're going to conceal that from the parents. They're not going to tell the parents about that. And this policy is really coming down as an administrative rule through the Department of Education, saying you can't do that anymore. Not if you're going to be, you know, under the purview of the Department of Education. That's, you're going to be, you know, out of line with our rules if you keep doing that. And you know, I'm just saying that they're particularly responding to, Trump is responding, and the Department of Education responding to something that happened in Kansas with some schools that were doing this. But you know, I was speaking at a church out in California just several years ago, and this was happening there. And a young teacher came up to, I was speaking in August. A young teacher comes up to me, you know, pretty new to the profession, says he just got through with his teacher in service. And they had just given them instructions on what to do with kids that are transitioning. And they had been instructed, you must not tell the parents that a kid is doing it. You must affirm the kid, and you can't tell the parents. And this guy comes up to me at the church, because he's a Christian, and his conscience is stricken by this requirement that his school administration is putting upon him that he cannot. And even if he's doing a parent-teacher conference, if he's calling the child Nancy at school, he has to continue to call the child Joe to the parent's face and pretend like he's not calling him two different things. It was an active cover up with the parents. And of course, any person, any Christian is going to feel conscience stricken about that. But any normal person whose conscience isn't seared is going to feel bad about that, because you're keeping the parents in the dark about something that's tremendously harmful to kids. And even if you don't think it was harmful, you'd have to at least say it's a pretty momentous thing to keep from parents. And it just goes against all reason and common sense. And so I'm so glad that they're doing this, because it was keeping parents in the dark and it was harming kids.
All right, one last story here. There's this really goofy clip going around online right now of a Democrat senator candidate, Abdul El Sayed, who compared so-called sex change surgeries to circumcision. When asked by Jesse Waters on Fox whether it was okay for parents to allow their kids to have sex change surgeries, the Senate candidate said, "It's a problem that you think you get to decide what happens between a parent, a doctor, and a patient." And I'm just saying that, yes, circumcision is a surgery on a kid's genitals, and I use that word in replacement for one he used. So if you really want to bring that up, you can. I just think you guys are really selective in how you want to talk about these things. Colin, what say you on his comparison between these sex-rejecting surgeries and circumcision?
I mean, it's as dumb as it is dishonest, and it just, to me, highlights, again, even throughout all these stories that we've covered, really the partisan nature of this issue still. There's a very clear left-right divide. I mean, here's a, you know, major national candidate who is still in the tank for transgender surgeries on minors and making that case on public TV. And, you know, with the school case that Denny just talked about, that is, you know, it's here in the state of Kansas where I am. And, but there's a reason why that story is coming out of the place that it is. It's coming out of Topeka and Kansas City, which are these, you know, deep blue enclaves in a otherwise very red state. And, there's a reason why those are the districts that are, against the Trump administration policies and still trying to hide these things and really coming, under scrutiny. And I think rightly so, because of the way they're trying to hide these things from parents. And it's just wicked. And what we're seeing across the board is one side of the political aisle has kind of awoken from its stupor and the transgender craze and said, this is ridiculous. No more. This needs to be rolled back. And the other side is doubling down. So we cannot let up when it comes to advocating for these things, when it comes to talking to our neighbors, when it comes to going to the voting booth and making sure that our voice is heard, that we stand with the truth, and that is God's design for us as male and female.
And honestly, if you don't know the difference between a circumcision and removing someone's entire reproductive anatomy, I don't know how to help you. I mean, you're in such a land of unreason at that point. It's the difference between something that's been happening for thousands of years that doesn't hurt anyone and making someone infertile, you know? So if you don't know the difference between those two things, I can't believe that a candidate, an actual candidate for office, would be making such a case because it's so irrational.
Well, thank you both so much for your commentary today. Hey, we are just scratching the surface on stories related to these issues. I mean, there were more headlines out of the WNBA, which I know we covered a couple weeks ago. But for our listeners, for more commentary and for evergreen articles, big picture, in the weeds, visit cbmw.org, where we have decades of resources on all things related to anthropology. Thank you for listening today.